Rebecca, and I'm going to give you a brief overview of Tizen 3D UI, or DALI as I know it better. I'm going to give you a brief introduction of the overall domain, a little skim over the architecture and programming models, and then going to talk about some of the key features that we have, and show you a couple of videos. And also we have a stand downstairs if you haven't visited yet, so you can see some of the key Tizen mobile applications using our 3D UI engine. All right, so I'm from Samsung Research UK. I have a team there doing the UI framework development. My background's in mobile and graphics. DALI as a 3D engine kind of sits between the applications and the sort of low-level graphics drivers and the operating system. So it is a 3D engine. We have a 3D scene graph, and animations, transitions are all done in 3D mathematics, so using vectors, quaternions, matrices, rendering, and all the visual effects, all the nice-looking stuff is done through OpenGLES, and we're using shaders, so it's all 2.x forwards, and we're currently kind of upgrading to 3 as well, so we can get more fancier effects by the latest Chrono standards. So it is a 3D engine, but you can still do 2D UI with it perfectly fine. So 2D is just a set plane zero in our default camera setup. So you can kind of, if you're not familiar with 3D, you can start with 2D and then start applying some effects and get familiar with it. So within the Tizen architecture, we are sitting in the native framework and in the core graphics UI package logically. So the engine is implemented in C++. DALI is an acronym. Everything in Samsung is. We have most of the key applications in the Samsung Z, for example, using the engine. So home screen, lock screen. So we're targeting applications that are doing rich animations, kind of signature applications, if you like. You can also do games with it, but we're mainly focusing in UI, rich UI applications. So a few words about the architecture. So there's literally three key Git repositories involved in DALI. So we have the core library, which contains the rendering, animation, the scene graph, effects, event handling, plugin APIs for physics engines, all the obviously math and rendering shaders and everything. It's abstracted from the platform, so we have platform abstraction API. So anything to do with the real rendering, OpenGL APIs, EGL, threading, resource loading is actually done in the platform abstraction side, and this obviously allows us to port the engine into different kinds of configurations quite easily. Also, we have another component called the adapter, which is the kind of link between the DALI rendering engine and the native windowing event loop of the environment where you're running DALI. So we have obviously different kinds of adapters for different environments. So, for example, for Tizen Mobile, there's one, and then for TV, another one, because it's slightly different dependencies. And so on. And then on top of these, we have the toolkit, which is really just a collection of reusable assets to make application development easier, quicker. App developers, in my experience, they want to write one line of code and then the engine works out how to deal with it. So if you want motion blur, application developer wants to just say motion blur enable, and the rendering engine should work out what it actually requires in terms of rendering passes and what have you. So we have a set of UI controls. It's by no means a comprehensive UI control set, but the kind of key controls you need on on most applications. We have lots of effects, lots of shader effects, also richer effects. I'll talk more about them later on and show some in the videos. And then we have scripting support as well to allow application developers to do declarative UI or interaction with JavaScript as well. So a little bit about 3D scene graphs. I don't know how many of you are familiar with this kind of graphics, but just to introduce how things are. So here's a car. So in a 3D scene graph, the car chassis, axis, and the wheels are breaking down into nodes. And in this case, I would choose the chassis as the root, and then the axis and wheels are anchored into the chassis, into the correct places. So we have a parent-child relationship. We have a linkage between the parents and the children. So we have a couple of concepts here. What we call parent origin is where the child starts from within the coordinate space of its parent. And then anchor point is where the child is relative to its kind of center of gravity, if you like. So these are quite key things when you start animating things, because the anchor point and parent origin describe where, if you spin the chassis around, these move along their against their parent origins and anchor points. And then if you put the wheels to spin, they spin around their anchor point, obviously. So that way you can describe, you can decide rotation, center of rotation, for example. So each node in the 3D scene graph has a few built-in properties. So we have position, rotation, scale, and size. Position, rotation, scale are all inherited, which means that all the positions of the axis and the wheels are actually relative to their parents. So the wheels are positioned relative to the axis, and the axis is positioned relative to the chassis. And now you can, if you want to move the car, you just move one thing and everything else just follows automatically. Makes it easy to do animations and all kinds of effects. And unlike kind of traditional 2D toolkits, in DALL-E, there's no rules as such. So children can be anywhere. They don't have to be in the parents' coordinate space or visible area. There's no clipping automatically done or anything. So you can kind of design the UI the way you want it to be, and so on. One of the key features of DALL-E is it is multi-threaded, actually quite highly multi-threaded. So when we started developing the engine, our experience was from the other UI toolkits from that time. And quite often, I mean, one of our key requirements in mobile, but I think in all UIs these days, is scrolling. So you have to have 60 FPS smooth scrolling, regardless of what the application is doing. And obviously, we don't know what the application is doing. So if we try to do rendering in the same thread where the application is opening an SQL database or a HTTP connection to the internet, you're not going to get 60 FPS smooth scrolling. So we decided to move the animation handling and render thread away from the application thread. So now the application can do whatever it likes. We will always get guaranteed 60 FPS smooth animations and rendering, so you have a very, very good user experience. It's just butter smooth all the time. So event thread is where we process events, give notifications back to the applications when something changes in the UI or the scene graph. Update thread deals with the scene graph updates, so things like animations, physics, simulation, but also issuing resource loads. So resource loading is then done kind of in child threads, so that if you scrolling through a gallery, the scrolling just continues and the images just get loaded in the background. And again, that doesn't block the scrolling. So you may see some placeholder icon whilst the real thumbnail is loading, but at least you have a good smooth user experience. And render thread just rendering. So that's where all the GL stuff happens. In the core library, I'm not going to go through all these details, don't worry. There's so much stuff I could talk about, but I've only got limited time, so I'll just briefly mention some of the key things. So the core library contains the animation framework, event and gesture handling, rendering, physics plugin API. We support 3D models, model loading, basically loading meshes designed in 3D Max, whatever, Cinema 4D tools, including animations. And yeah, then things like lighting, cameras, obviously math, optimized math library. And yeah, the core is completely platform and Windows system agnostic. So you can run it on any Linux platform. Toolkit, as I mentioned earlier, contains a lot of effects. I couldn't fit all the built-in effects into this box. There's much, much more. We have a number of UI controls. So scrolling is one of the key things we do. So we have a scroll view and an item view, which are both serving a little bit different scrolling scenarios, different kinds of image display views, blur effects, so motion blur, Gaussian blur, super blur, which is used in the lock screen, and then all kinds of essential UI controls like buttons, tables, text input, text view, pop-up, sliders, you know, just to do your basic stuff. Also in Toolkit, we have the JavaScript bindings with the V8 JavaScript engine. We have a JSON builder, so you can describe the whole UI and animations and interaction to a certain level in a JSON file. So you can basically do completely declarative UI with DALL-E engine if you don't want to do C++, that is. And yeah, then you can use GUI builder. DALL-E builder to build the UI based on the script. And in the adapter, we have the various plugins, so plugins for feedback, so haptic feedback, sound feedback. We have Dynamics plugins, so we've integrated DALL-E with the Bullet open source physics engines if you want to do some soft body or rigid body physics that's supported. And then we have model loading as a plugin. The reason why we've done all these as plugins is we want to keep the startup time to a minimum. So we don't want, if somebody doesn't use these, we don't want to burden them. So they're kind of loaded as needed. So there's no cost involved. Then we have some caching in the platform abstraction, loading clips using pre-type, resource loading, images, JPEGs, what have you. And then we have various adapters. So in Tizen, DALL-E adapts with the eCore X. So basically to get the Windows surface and then get the events and pixmaps for various kind of cross-application rendering scenarios. And also the real OpenGL calls are done by the adapter. So actually DALL-E Core just calls a GL abstraction API, and then adapter does the real call. So technically, you could replace this OpenGL with DirectX, and DALL-E wouldn't really know much about it. But this also allows us to test everything, so we can test our rendering, all the GL calls and everything, that we do them in the right order, that we do the right amount and everything. So it's quite good architecturally to abstract things. Okay, a little bit about API. So obviously C++ is our kind of main application developer API. So here's a simple piece of C++ that creates an image actor from an image, puts it on the stage. So we have theatrical terms in DALL-E. So we have a stage, we have actors, lights, and camera. And here we're creating an animation, so an animation that runs for 1.5 seconds, and it's a move to animation, so you pass in the actor handle and the position where you want this actor to move to, and then optional alpha function, and then you just say play. And now this basically transfers into the update thread, and DALL-E starts rendering, updating and rendering 60 FPS, and the application can continue doing its own business logic. We're using signals as slots, which is quite common C++ paradigm. It gives you the freedom of kind of not having to inherit from some observers. You can just connect a function into a signal. So in this case, we have this image actor. It has a touch signal, so we're connecting the touch signal to this onPressed function. So now when you touch the image actor, this handler gets invoked, and you get the actor handle and the actual event as parameters, and then you can do something. So in this case, we create this animation and trigger it. Those of you familiar with C++ would notice that this is a little different to your standard kind of schoolbook C++. So we're using a couple of concepts, if you like, to make applications more stable, to prevent them from leaking and stuff like that. So we use two-phase construction. So you won't use the standard C++ new operator. You're calling a new function on a public API object. There's a couple of benefits from this, but the main one obviously is we can then change the object, change the API internals, and application code stays binary compatible, and also source code compatible. What this new method actually returns you is not something of a pointer. It returns you a handle. So we're using handle body idiom. So basically, these are smart pointers to shared objects, ref counted objects. So now you can have any number of these handles, and these handle objects keep the objects alive. So once you throw away this handle, the object gets deleted. So you don't have to remember to call delete. That happens automatically. So obviously, little learning curve to know to use handle body and two-phase construction, but our experience is there is no memory leaks once you start to follow this, because everything is just handled by the compiler. JavaScript, the same thing, actually looks almost the same. With JavaScript, we are using new, obviously there's no two-phase construction. So again, you're creating an image actor from an image, setting parent origin anchor point, adding to the stage, and connecting the signal. In JavaScript, we're using a single string names for the signals for the time being, and then you're connecting the function, and this function again gets called when you click the image actor. And you can set the same parameters when you create the animation. So you can set the alpha function, delay, duration, and then just say animate this actor to that position. There's a star there. This is not yet ready. It's maybe 2 weeks. The same thing, as I mentioned earlier, you can describe in a JSON file. So you can describe the stage. So you have an image actor with the name image in this case. You describe the file name, and then you have an animation here. So you describe the animation called move image. It has a duration parameter, and it modifies this actor property called position to this value, and uses this bounce alpha function. And here we do the connection. So we connect the touch signal into the play action of this animation called move image. And that's it. Once you load this using the builder, you can just tell it to create this UI, and you get the image actor. When you touch it, the animation gets played. So that's great. So you can then actually customize this without compiling any C++ or modifying any C++. So those are the kind of three ways we support writing applications using DALL-E. So now I'm going to try and go through some of our key features in 10 minutes. So I mentioned actors already. So our building blocks, we have three actors. We have image actor, text actor, and a mesh or model actor, you could say. Everything is built from these three. There is an actor, which is just used for input handling, which is, it's not visible, but you can use it as a logical kind of parent or for hit testing or other kind of positioning helpers or as a positioning helper or layout helper as well. But anything visible is built from images, text, and meshes. There's another asterisk there. We have a particle actor. It's in Gerrit waiting for final review and be submitted. Actors have built-in properties, position, size, rotation, scale, parent origin, anchor point, and color. On top of these actors, in the UI toolkit, we build UI controls. So UI controls do a little bit more. So they do additional stuff like layouting, scrolling, handling accessibility, handling all these kinds of additional use cases that you need for a real commercialized user interface on top of just the fancy effects. So we have things like buttons, sliders, pop-ups, etc., just basic UI controls. We have a scroll view and item view for scrolling contents or views, and then some layout containers like alignment, table view, navigation frame, and what have you. Animation, we have a relatively rich set of animations, so any property, almost any property can be animated. So the built-in properties obviously are all animatable. You can add custom properties and animate them and then use them for other purposes. You can constrain properties to be relative to other properties. We have vertex mesh animation, so you can do animated meshes. You can, for example, deform a mesh. We have shader uniform animation, which is obviously needed for any kinds of effects. We have model animation, so bones and joints, so you can do kind of ragdoll animations. We have keyframe. Actually, we have three types of animators for any property, so you can say animate by, or animate to, or animate with keyframes, and then you just say as many keyframes as you need, and the animation will follow those keyframes. And it's a pretty flexible system. I mean, it's not perfect, but we keep improving it as well. But you can basically combine property animations from multiple objects into a single animation, and you can play it. You can delay different animations, animators inside an animation, and what have you. So you can do this kind of animations where each item has slightly different timing, duration, or delay, for example. We have constraint system and property notification system. So constraints allow you to make properties function of other properties. So you can say, make my position relative to my parent size. So if the parent grows, then the position changes. So you can build kind of a scalable UI quite powerfully and quite easily with these constraints. You can do all kinds of things. This is actually one of the games we've implemented as an example, and it uses constraints and property notifications quite a lot. So it's not using a physics engine, it's just basic constraints and properties. So there's a property called collision for each one of these tiles, and that property value is a function of the distance from this ball to the edge of the block. So now when the ball approaches, we know when it hits one of these blocks, we get a property notification because the property value changes from one value to another one. And now application gets a callback and can play a sound and remove the block. So these kind of allow you to do kind of rule-based user interface or more game stuff. Quite powerful frameworks once you kind of get the hang of it. Shader effects is probably the most important feature we have. So applications can provide custom shaders for all the different geometry types, so images, text, and meshes. So there's an example of a fragment shader image dissolve effect. So just pixelating the fragments over time based on a curve. There's a mesh vertex shader example, which is a bubble effect, kind of a particle effect, which allows you to do particles, cool stuff. And another vertex shader example is page turn. So we have a book kind of bendy shader that you can use your finger to tilt the page. There's lots of built-in ones in the toolkit available all the time. New ones get added, but it's really simple. You just provide a string for vertex and string for fragment, and that's it. You can do your own custom ones, and then you can animate your uniforms. So shader effects are the kind of lower level building block effects. Then if you want to do something more richer, more cooler, like shadows, then obviously you need to combine multiple shaders, multipath rendering, and that kind of stuff. So we've got these kind of effect containers or effect views, you could say. So they're kind of for someone who doesn't want to learn the graphics algorithms and learn how to do a good blur or how to do bloom or shadows or these kind of things. They provide an easy way. You just create one of these views and put things into it, and the view will automatically internally just do the thing for you. So in a shadow view, if you put a 3D model into it, and then you'll get a shadow on the plane where the shadows are. Or motion blur, if you apply it on an actor, it just gets motion blur, and then application developer doesn't need to worry about how on earth do you do motion blur. Item view is a scrolling container, which is kind of a concept of a container that scrolls through an infinite database. So there's an API that allows the application to plug in its data model into it, and then there's a layout or multiple layouts, and now you just get some touch input. Item view will do the scrolling and ask for new items as you scroll up or down, and the layout will specify where the items actually end up. So it's quite powerful because you can now animate from one layout to another, and item view will just do the animation smoothly. So you just say, I want to go from a grid to a depth view, and you can even scroll at the same time, and item view will just work out how it's gonna pan out 60 FPS. We provide some built-in layouts, grid, spiral, depth, album, navigation, roll. I think there's a few more new ones added recently, but also applications can provide custom layouts. So again, it's quite powerful because application can just focus on what they want from the layout, and all the basic logic of scrolling and maintaining the database, caching the items, and everything is done by item view. Scroll view is our other scrolling component. So scroll view is different from item view in that it is a static kind of like a page-based view. So you set up pages, and then you can again set up different scroll effects, and scroll view will take care of the scrolling and applying the effect, moving the child actors to the right positions based on the effect. And it does the kind of more the page scrolling type features like flicking, snapping, axis lock, custom rulers, kind of like, you know, typically used in an application like a home screen or application grid, or this kind of going through different scrolling through different views. We support 3D models, meshes, and bone and joint animation. So we've got ASIMP plugin implemented, which can load Collada, Maya, 3D Studio, all kinds of industry standard formats, and then we have our own binary format. So if an application wants to use 3D models and wants faster startup, then obviously it's better to use our built-in binary format, because that avoids any additional parsing. Physics integration I mentioned earlier. So we've done the integration against Bullet. The plugin is provided in the adapter. There's a picture example of a rigid body collision. So we support rigid body and soft body physics from Actor. So Actor has the API to enable physics and set the physics properties, and then DALL-E will just actually, instead of using its own animation framework, it will ask the physics engine every frame where should this thing be now, and then renders it to that place. Okay, video. So here's a few of the effects. So this is our DALL-E demo launcher. So that was the scroll view. There's too many features to fit in. I wanted to keep the video compact. So there's the particle effect, the bubble. There's our game, the block. There's some cube transition effects. So again, each one of these items has slightly different animation durations. So just to make it a little bit more fluid and flowing, the whole kind of effect. So this is item view. So there you can see you can go from one layout to another during scrolling and everything, and it just works it out. Obviously, because DALL-E is a 3D world, you can have multiple cameras. So feature like magnifier is just dead easy. You just put another camera, move it a little bit closer, and there's your magnifier. It just doesn't cost anything. There was motion blur briefly, and this is the page turn effect in portrait view, so you can see the shadows and the SC curve mapping of the page. We have stencil support, so you can do all these kinds of fancy things. This is scroll view, some of the scroll view effects, scrolling effects, so carousel, spiral. I have to apologize, the video frame rate is not 60 FPS, so in real life these look better than in the video. My laptop can't cope with this size video, unfortunately. So there's the 3D model and lighting. So you can see that the shadow is correctly calculated even during the light the animation as well. All right, so a little sneak preview on what we're doing currently, what will be available very soon to all of you guys as well. So obviously the engine is all great and fine, but we still want to be able to much quicker prototype new kinds of UI concepts, new kinds of effects. So we're working on, or been working on a GUI builder to actually be able to kind of drag and drop style, do the layouting, do the animations, and then just press the button, get it on a device, and kind of deploy, then focus on the business logic. So GUI Builder is so DALL-E provides the scripting support. So I already showed the JSON file format. So basically the GUI Builder just exploits this functionality by providing the JSON files for you. So you've got the GUI Builder tool there. You can drag and drop the images or whatever your UI will contain. Then you output it into a JSON file, and you run it with the DALL-E launcher, and then you get the same thing on a device. So that's kind of a quick prototyping scenario. In real world, you're probably going to do a mixed approach where you have some layout. So for example, for a list of contacts, you would design a single contact item. This is the layout I want for my contact items. and then you use something like item view to just create any amount of these contact items based on your contacts database. So you basically have a little bit of a C++ business logic or JavaScript business logic, which gets the real data from wherever it is and then loads this JSON-based template and just populates the data into it and adds the contents on stage. We also have an animation designer, so you can interactively design animations. You can set up the timeline. I'll actually show the video. Speaks better than my words. So you have a palette there on the left-hand side. You drag things onto your kind of static layout. Then you pick the objects you want to animate, and you just put them in where you want them to move to, for example. Or if you want to scale, then just use the scaling hub and just do the thing. And every time something is done here, you can see a timeline is added here in the animation timeline designer. You can pick the easing function or the alpha function for the animation. You can then set the durations, move these kind of bars if you want different timings for different parts of the animation. And you just hit the play button and that's it. Just about on time. What next? So get the code. It's all in Tizen 3. Open source keeps updating all the time, obviously, because we're adding new features, new demos, new stuff. So yeah, just clone them, play with it, build cool, exciting applications, and finally, hopefully, contribute. So get in touch with us, give us some ideas, what could be done better, or give us patches or report bugs. Hopefully there's not too many, but you never know. Any questions? Any questions? So at the moment, everything in DALL-E is based on properties. So all the if you take a button, all the visual attributes of the button are properties. So at the moment, you can set those properties already through C++ API by just setting property values to something. What we've done now is we've just exposed that exactly same mechanism to JavaScript, so you can say button.background equals something, or button.border equals something. So that's the kind of current state. Styling so our current styling is based on the JSON approach. So you basically describe the same way. Then bear with me, I'll try to go back to the JSON. So you just basically specifying properties. Obviously, this is animation properties, but anyways, you just specify properties as name value pairs, and we have some of the concepts we kind of try to follow CSS, but we decided not to use CSS because it's quite heavy to parse for us, but. Yep. So we have two ways of doing it. There's a programmatic API where you specify how many pixels from left, right, top and bottom. Or if you have the Android style 9 patch, then you just provide us the PNG and or image and we will automatically do the slicing. So button is the most abstract button is a combination of three actors. Actually, button doesn't care whether they are 3D models, images, or text, or combinations of multiple ones. So button is kind of just handling the state changes from, you know, dimmed, pressed, or normal kind of thing. If you want a particular, like a push button based on images, then we have you can get that by just providing the images in the JSON style sheet or through C++. So our engine is part of the native framework. So obviously we could not use WebGL because we'd need to be on top of browser. Yeah, that's our kind of main focus currently. So we're kind of providing rich application UI and effects for native. Okay, thank you.